312-981-7200 is the phone number. Dan, we know that you never had a weird job.
Yeah, pretty much standard jobs.
I don't know. I mean, delivering papers when you're like 9 years old or 10 years old at 4 o'clock in the morning seems a little strange now. But that's what everybody did. This was in the '70s, and I remember we used to have to. I've talked about this on the air before. But we would actually stuff the papers, especially on Sundays. We'd have to go in and stuff all the ads and all that stuff and wrap them up. And then we would have these big wooden rickety carts that we would push down the middle of the street at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then just deliver the papers. But I can't even imagine how many people we woke up at 4:30 in the morning. But don't get that, don't get that. You know, like the cart, pushing the cart. The carts were like made of metal and wood, and they were not in good shape. And we stuffed the papers. The paper office was on Lincoln Avenue. South of Irving, north of school? What, you know where the Crate and Barrel and is, I don't know if it's a CB2? Is it still a CB2 on Lincoln? You know where Grizzlies was or is, the bar Grizzlies?
Yes, I think it's Big Bricks now. It's called Big Brick. Excuse me.
Yeah. That
there's,
you know,
a PetSmart over there.
PetSmart.
I'm a Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. That's right. Okay, that's right. Trader Joe's, and that used to be an A&P when I was a kid, but it was right up the street from that. So it was before Irving, and in between on that. That's where the storefront was, where we would, you know, do the newspaper stuffing. And then I used to. I think I may have delivered papers to a house that you may have lived in. Because that area was my route.
We lived on Hamilton.
Yeah,
my grandmother, my folks, or my dad and his brother and sisters grew up on Kyler, so that was
could be.
Yeah,
I mean, and if they have memories of kids walking down the street, bucket, with a giant wooden metal cart waking them up, and on Sundays when we would deliver the papers. I didn't do it. So most of the time, I just did it on Sundays. It was a one-day-a-week thing for me because I was 11, 12. But I would do it on Sundays. And then I did it for – then I started doing it, like, regularly for, you know, a whole week. But it was just a Sunday thing. And you know where we would go after we'd finish our route? Everybody in the – we would go to the Lincoln.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's what we – every single Sunday, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go stuff papers, deliver them, bring them back, get our money, go to the Lincoln and have breakfast. That was me. In the 70s. That's not a weird job, though. I've never really had, I worked at a hot dog stand for like a couple of weeks because the owner was a loon and he was having an affair with a 16-year-old girl.
Oh.
Yeah. He was married. He's having an affair with one of the girls that worked there. I just got out of there.
Where was that?
It was on Lincoln Avenue. I'm not kidding. South of Addison on Lincoln Avenue. I don't know if it's still a car dealership. There was a car dealership right there where Ravenswood is. You know where the burrito place and the Dunkin' Donuts is?
Right.
Right across the street from there, about a block and a half south.
Okay.
On Lincoln. So that's where the hot dog place was.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to give you the name of the place because I just said that the guy had an affair with a 16-year-old girl. So I'm not going to give the name of the place. But yeah, I left there, and then it was McDonald's and then Jewel. And then editor at Roy Leonard's Going Out Guide, movie critic, and this. So those were normal. Lucky jobs, too. Yeah, you know what was really funny is when we were approached, when Roy was approached to do Roy Leonard's Going Out Guide. See, this is how much I owe to this guy. This is how much I owe to him. I was working at Jewel, and I was doing movie criticism part-time. And I was on the radio with Roy but when they approached us, they approached Roy. Roy said, okay, this sounds like a pretty cool idea. We could do this. We'll do a subscription base. It'll be fun. I'm not doing it unless you make Nick DiGilio the managing editor. And I was like, oh. So there you go. I would have no jobs without Roy. I would, I'd be working in a hot dog stand right now. So anyway. Now, Esmeralda, you had the fantastic camel situation. of which I took full advantage of when I was a smoker.
And I didn't do the cool one where you go to bars. I was in the daytime program at convenience stores.
Oh, that's not as fun.
No.
No.
Standing around a 7-Eleven.
Just stand around a 7-Eleven trying to give people cigarettes.
Yeah.
They sign up for a thing.
Yeah.
That's how it worked. You would sign up, right? You would give it. You had a little computer thing, right? Like a...
Yeah, like a little scanner machine.
A little scanner thing. Doopy, doopy, doopy. And then you'd like enter, what, their zip code? And you get their driver's license.
Yeah, right? We would scan their driver's license.
Right. Now, I would do that. I did that because when I was a smoker, I did that constantly. And I would have people in the bar who don't smoke go up. So I could get free packs of cigarettes.
Yeah, I do. I still do it if I'm with friends who.
Do they still do that?
Every once in a great while, I've seen. I haven't seen it lately.
Yeah.
But when I was still working at the bar, they would. Come around every once in a while.
In the '90s, it was everywhere. It was everywhere in the '90s. Like every night, they'd come into Simon's or they'd come into Ty's. And every night I'd walk out with 5 or 6 packs of cigarettes, you know, and then like friends would go off there. Hey, man, but I don't smoke. Just shut up and have them scan your license. Just get me a pack of cigarettes and shut your mouth, you know?
Yeah, before I worked there, I would have mine scanned for my friend and then it would show up at my parents' house.
Right.
And they're just like, what is all this stuff about Cam cigarettes? I'm like, it's a thing.
Now, but you weren't actually handing out packs of cigarettes, right?
No.
You were handing out coupons.
Yeah. So the thing was, because we were in a convenience store, the deal was with the store. So they would give the pack and then they would get reimbursed.
Okay. I see. So because like in the bars, they would come in with cartons of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And they would just, you would walk up to the person, they would scan your driver's license, you'd walk away with 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes. I can't tell you how many, because my friends, who were big smokers, theater people drink and smoke. That's what they do. They drink and they smoke. That's what they do. And I can't tell you the number of times eyes would just light up when those representatives from Camel would come in, you know, because theater people drink, smoke, and are broke. That's pretty much, they don't have money, but they want to drink and they want to smoke. And so when someone comes in and offers them free cigarettes, it's the happiest time of their life. So anyway, and then I still love that you worked for a cobbler. I think that that's fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't really learn anything from it. I mean, I learned a couple of things just about shoes. I mean, I was amazed at the things that they could do to a shoe.
Yeah.
And how they could just rebuild it completely. But I mainly...
Delivered.
Yeah, I deliver them. So it was more amazing just to see like the kind of stuff that would... Or where I had to go and I had to drop off stuff for people and how sometimes people were big jerks.
And you were doing it downtown and in the Loop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had to go into places like Chanel and Gucci, Nordstrom's and all that kind of stuff. Because that's... So you can take your stuff, like Louis Vuitton, you can take, say you bought a bag there 20 years ago, you can still take it back to Louis Vuitton and they will fix it. At least the one here, they used our guy to fix the stuff.
Wow.
So it wasn't even in-house. So
that's crazy.
But I mean, he worked miracles on some stuff.
How long did you do that?
Probably 6 months.
6 months.
And then I quit that because the people who I worked with were jerks.
Yeah.
And then I went to go work for a call center where I would call people on behalf of the CDC asking them for their children's immunization records.
That's very specific.
It was a program to, essentially to find out where... Do immunization programs need to be put in place?
Oh, okay. All right.
But people would get real offended.
I bet they would.
And
I can't do the cold calling. I could never be a salesman or anything like that. I just can't do it. I'm not cut out for that at all.
Yeah, you would get a script, but it was the thing of, it was just a machine calling numbers over and over again. And then you had to, and a lot of them were just wrong numbers because it would be a random, the machine would just pick random numbers.
Right, right.
So it was a lot of like, beep. Right in my ear for 8 hours.
That's fantastic.
And I remember one time I was calling someone and they picked up and I did my spiel and they thought I was a robot. Like, they thought it was just a message.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, no, I'm real. I was a real person. Thank you, yeah. I think.
Yeah. That sounds like a fantastic job, Esmeralda.
It was the worst.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even quit. I just stopped going.
All right, we got a break. By the way, I forgot to mention how I bartended, too, in that stretch. So there you go. So those are all pretty basic, normal jobs. Esmeraldas were a little strange, but we've got some very weird ones here and some ones that I didn't even know existed. And we want to hear from you. Weirdest, worst jobs you've ever had. 312-981-7200.
Whiskey, bourbon, vodka, scotch. I don't care what it is you got.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. 218 area code, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday, yeah. 312-981-7200 for your request. One artist, two songs. 218 requested Lou Reed. That's Last Shot. And we're talking about weird jobs that actually exist, odd jobs, or worst jobs that you've ever had. Worst. 312-981-7200. Let's go to the phones. Here's Mike on WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Yeah, I remember delivering newspapers back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And collecting. Remember you had to collect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that, I had to...
That was always fun, yeah.
But, no, I had a good route. I had, like, 47th Street to 51st from Damon, Hoyne, Sealy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a good, but I did the Tribune and Sun-Times in the morning, and in the afternoon I'd come home and do the afternoon daily news.
Ah, yes. That was back when we had two newspapers. You had the morning edition and the afternoon edition.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I, like I say, getting up on a Sunday morning and stuffing them.
Yeah, fun.
But, hey, let me ask you this. You remember the ads in the movie section back then?
Mm-hmm.
You have ads for the Cheetah Club and the candy store?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You always wonder what they were back then.
Yep.
But.
You know, how about when it rained? You had to have that big tarp over your over the cart you're pushing down the middle of the street.
Well, I had a shopping cart from the local National.
Oh, you did? We had these big, ridiculous wooden carts that were from, like, 1940. And they were just sitting around in that. They were sitting around in that storefront, I think, for 30 years. By the time we started pushing them around and falling apart, the wood was warped. They had metal handles and metal wheels. It was like, let's choose the absolute loudest thing to push down the street at 4 o'clock in the morning to wake up the neighbors.
Well, they were probably better suited if a horse was pulling them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they seemed that old to me at that time. So, yeah, that was fun, man. Delivering papers. All right, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, the worst job I ever had?
Yeah.
Repairing truck tires on the road. I was a serviceman for Sears Truck Tire back in the day, back in the 80s.
So you would go out on calls? Like if somebody blew a tire on a truck, you'd have to go out and fix it?
Oh, yeah. And if IDOT pulled a truck over at the scales?
Yeah.
One time I had to replace every tire on a truck.
Oh, man.
The drives and the steers, because they were in so bad shape. State trooper pulled a guy over and said he couldn't drive any further until he had all his tires changed.
Oh, man. How long?
Now,
did you, how long,
remember.
I was just going to say, how long did you have that job?
I was had it for about 2.5 years before I got in the electrical trade.
Okay.
But if you recall back in the day, in the 80s, 85, 86, mm-hmm. the winters we had.
Oh, yeah.
How cold it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was in the middle of that winter.
Oh, God. Wow. Well, you're not doing that anymore, Mike, which is a good thing.
Oh, no.
All right, buddy. Have a good morning.
All right, brother.
Take
care.
See you later. There you go, Mike. Talking about collecting on for the newspapers. I was like the kid in Better Off Dead. I would just chase people down for my
$2. $2.
Oh, man. You know, we were talking about Curtis Armstrong a little bit earlier, Esmeralda, when we had, you know, when he hosted, he was, you know, at our screening
mm-hmm.
of Revenge of the Nerds. There were some real Better Off Dead fanatics at our screening and at Flashback that weekend who just love that movie. And he told me some stories about how when he goes to these conventions, sometimes they come in costume, and 9 times out of 10 they come as the paperboy kid. Because I mean,
he's a cool kid.
Yeah, but even though Curtis Armstrong doesn't have any scenes with that kid, it's all him getting John Cusack getting chased down by the kid. Or they come as him. They get the top hat, you know. and, you know, the skis. Do you have any idea the street value of this mountain? So Better Off Dead, funny movie. Okay, we have to break, and we've got a bunch of texts coming in about weird jobs, bad jobs, the worst jobs ever. 312-981-7200, and we got phone lines are open at 312-981-7200, also for Two for Tuesday for your requests. We'll take a break for the news coming up here, and 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, Two for Tuesday. Is 773 area code. Requested UB40 Rat in the Kitchen. And you can request a Two for Tuesday if you would enjoy that. It's a one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So I've got some weird jobs from around the world that actually exist, never thought would exist. And we're talking about odd jobs, weird jobs, worst jobs you've ever had. 312-981-7200. There's some texts that came in. 773 area code said, my dorm mate in college scaled mold off of cheese for a major company that sells it. Okay. Then he says, I was a fake patient during physicals from docs who received degrees from non-U.S. medical schools. We were treated like living cadavers. See, now that's all that medical, those medical things that you do, you know, like if you're a starving college student.
Yeah, I did one of those.
What did you do?
I was part of, I think I still am, it's University of Chicago. It was a drinking study. And they gave me, I had to go in and they gave me a little snack pack of like cheese and just some things to eat. And then they would feed me a drink. It would either be nothing at all, beer. No. Nothing at all, alcohol, or it could have had like a sedative or an upper of some sort.
What?
But it was like, it was nothing crazy. It was like small amounts of it or whatever.
So they were they tracking your body's reaction to what you consumed?
Yeah, so they would
consumed?
Do that, and then they would make me do these tests, like eye coordination and... They would just ask me, how am I feeling and, you know, my mood and
so they
and
would give
kind of
you
stuff.
They would give you booze?
It could have been
or a sedative?
Yeah, I don't know what the sedative was. They like they told me at the end like what they gave me. But it was funny because one of them I was like, no, this is vodka, isn't it? And they were like, we can't tell you. Or at the moment, they're like, we can't say. And I'm like, it is.
Yeah.
Totally is. And then I would just hang out and watch movies.
So you would take sedatives, drink booze, and watch movies.
Yeah.
And then they would check your eyes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something right there.
Yeah, and they had me like do little eye coordination tests.
Do you remember how much you got for doing that?
What, 20
bucks or something?
No, I got a lot. I forget how much, but I mean, I had to claim it on my taxes.
Yeah.
It was enough. And I'm still in it. Like they've, maybe 2 years ago, they called me back to do more of the tests. It's like this lifelong thing. The person who's running it, she keeps getting grants and stuff to keep it going.
Well, I don't know. What's the purpose?
I don't know the effects of alcohol on people.
But what the hell do sedatives have to do with that?
I don't know. Because it's the same, you know, an alcohol is a downer, so.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. I'm not the one.
Do they really, seriously, do they really need to do effects on how alcohol affects
people? Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little
study
too, but I mean, was like, whatever.
I think we all know how alcohol functions or how it affects people. I think we're pretty knowledgeable about that.
Yeah, don't I? I'm like, I'll take your money. Sure.
I'll take your money and I'll get drunk. I can claim this on my taxes at the end. Getting drunk. You can claim on your taxes that you got drunk. Hey, if that were the case, I'd be a millionaire right now. See, about 3 years ago, if I could have done that, man, I would have made a living.
Oh, and they always send me something for my birthday. Well, it's just something. It's like a magnet or a coffee mug.
It's not like a gift set of booze.
No,
they don't send you. They don't send you like a bottle.
No, they send me, I think, maybe every few months, they send a newsletter of what they've been doing. And then, like, with other news about...
Well, that's all those experimental things that they do on, like college students.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, let's see if you're allergic to this.
Yeah, we're at the time I was in college, so...
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what that... But, you know, that's, you know, you eat ramen and you go and take weird tests. That's what you do in college.
Yeah. I subsisted for a while on just doing market research stuff and, like, all that kind of...
Oh, man. Never did that ever. Never.
I love doing those things because they ask you questions and you have to be all creative.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? If this soda was a... I remember doing a Diet Coke one and they're like, if Diet Coke was a person, what kind of personality would they have?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
All right. 224 area code says, I've been working at a cemetery for almost 30 years. It's as interesting and sometimes crazy. I actually wrote a book about my experience, Letting People Down, Memories of a Cemetery Worker, Donna Lessey. And then 630 area code says, I was a milkman in the 70s. It was a great job. It was home delivery with glass bottles. I remember when I was a kid, we had a milkman come to the back door, had our milk in glass bottles. That's how old I am.
Don't they? They still do that, don't they?
Yeah, I think Oberweis does. Yeah. I think it's I think a few companies actually do it. Yeah. Anybody sharpen knives? Because there used to be the knife man.
I know people who would tell me that. Yeah, it was like the ice cream man. Like, he'd come down the street.
He'd come down the street and sharpen your knives.
Yeah.
That's what his job. He would walk down the street with a cart and then, like, you have any knives to be sharpening? You bring your knives down. He sharpens your knives. You pay him.
Kind of wish that still happened.
I don't know if that, because I remember the knife sharpener. I remember the knife sharpener guy.
I'm just too lazy to take my knives anywhere.
Yeah.
If they could come to me, that would be perfect.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Let's see if the knife sharpener guy is still around. Any knife sharpeners out there?
He's got one
guy's out there with a cart right now. Bring out your knives!
That wouldn't be too wise at 3:40 in the morning. Just a guy with...
Some guy walking around, you got any knives?
Sharpen your knives.
I'm here to sharpen your knives at 3:40 in the morning. I don't think that's the right personality to have for a knife sharpener. If you're walking around going, yeah, I'm going to sharpen your knives. Yeah.
I mean, that's fine, just not at 3:40 in the morning.
I don't know if I would trust the guy with that personality to sharpen my knives without stabbing me. That one I think he'd sharpen the knife and then stab me. That's what I think a guy like that would do. I'm going to sharpen your knives. Yeah. Well,
you just have to tell him, sharpen them and then put them in this very thick bag and then hand them back to me. But he could have a side knife. You never know.
You never know. The knife guy. Knife sharpening man. All right. Here's Harry on WGN. Hi, Harry.
Nick, how are you?
All right, what's up?
First of all, the knife guy came by my house on the northwest side this summer.
What?
Old Italian dude. Oh, yeah. I actually recorded a little video with him. An old Italian guy, heavy accent. And when he pushes the cart, it rings these bells.
Yeah.
It's like Pavlov's dog, man. You just start reaching for the knives and running out to the street to try to find them.
Running out to the street with your knives.
Everybody did. It's the craziest thing. You just see, you know, these housewives pouring out of their, you know, bungalows with the knives in their hand. Yeah. You know?
No, it was a real thing. I haven't seen it in years, you know.
Oh,
but
he's legit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said Northwest really side? What part of the Northwest side? No.
Saugonash, Forest Glen area.
Oh, sure.
I asked him where he works. He goes up to Glenview. I'm sure listeners have seen this guy. And yeah. It's like this old cart, and as he pushes it, you know, it's just got this, you know, kind of like a gypsy bell about
right,
it.
Right,
know,
right,
right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Wow. And people, I love the idea of... Now, housewives running out of the house with their knives.
Knives, scissors,
so many accidents.
Shears. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all sorts of stuff. It's crazy.
It's great.
Yeah, he's a storyteller, too. So it's kind of, you sit there and then, you know, he starts, you know, scolding you if, you know, are you married? You got children? Why not married? Why not children? You know, whatever. You know.
Sounds great.
How much money you make? I said, well, what does it matter? You know, just sharpen the knife. Let me go.
So you can buy more knives.
You can buy more knives.
And you can sharpen them.
Oh, man.
What'd you do with this knife? So dull. How you cut anything with this? You know? That's why you're here, pal. You know?
That's right. Did you have any weird jobs, Harry?
Well, you know, between getting fired for making pizzas with dirty hands because I couldn't get them clean by the time I had to go to work after working on my old Tornado and working at gas stations and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I was a Lane Tech senior, and I had a half a day of school and a half a day of work, and they wanted me to go to some machine shop and do whatever it was. And I said, what about the place across the street? And they said, oh, we've never done anything with the place across the street. And that happened to be WGN.
Oh.
And I ended up getting a job as a radio log keeper for you guys. And it was weird, but maybe one of the greatest jobs I ever
now,
had.
Now, this was back when we were at Bradley Place.
Yeah, man. So it was 76. 76 is when I started.
Oh.
And it's like 40 years, so it's unbelievable. But it was like this big, thick book. I mean, long, you know, legal-sized pages that had every half hour on.
Yeah.
You know.
Harry, I'm familiar.
I know you are. I'm just trying, you know, for those that aren't.
Right, right.
But as strict, I mean, it was so strict. You know, like if you had a Ford and a Chevy within 10 minutes, you had to write it down. If you were 10 seconds of dead air or five even, you know, why did that happen? You'd go in and ask, you know, like Marilyn or somebody running well, why were you guys dead air for 10 seconds? Because, well, I wanted it to or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Dan deals with that on a daily basis, man. He's got to keep track of all the screw-ups I make, Harry.
Well, it was an unbelievable job for a kid, and just to have those people around, and you know, having a guy like Colin saying, "Come in here and sit here for a while," you know, and stuff like that. I mean, it was just a magical.
And you
time.
got to work with the great Roy Leonard, the man I owe everything to.
Oh, so. Roy, tremendous,
the best.
You know, the morning, the split shift, and then the farm show in the afternoon. You know, at noon.
Yep.
And, you know, I knew more about herbicides than, you know, I didn't know anything about him. Who is it? I'm trying to remember. Orion worked with a guy named, God, what was his name?
You're talking like mid-70s?
It was Pre-Max.
Pre-Max. Oh, what was his? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bill, was it Bill? Anyway, he used to love reading the decon ads for killing rats and mice in barns. Mason? Could it have been Mason? Bill Mason?
Bill Mason. I don't know. You know, Max might be listening. You know, Max.
Well, I'm telling you. So he would get into reading this thing. If you've got dirty, filthy rats in your barn, you know, you're a minute 30 on the 30 on a, you know.
Yeah, right. It's a 60 second ad, and he would do it for 2 minutes. Yeah,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
And then one of the weirdest things was if somebody had a complaint and, like, you know, they'd claim something didn't run or didn't run right, you'd have duty on these reels that looked like giant spools,
right,
that recorded the full day,
right,
and you had to go and listen, and it sounded like you were listening through to a crystal radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what those even were. They were like the day log, and you had to listen.
Yeah.
And it was the day. Oh man, was it hard to try to find a spot, like, you know, 2:20 in the afternoon, and tremendous experience, really tremendous.
And, yeah. It's great.
You know,
so,
like,
by the way, it was William Mason. He was agricultural journalism on radio and TV from the 40s through the 70s. Yeah.
Boy, all that vodka didn't kill everything off. Yeah, but you know, like, when you guys, so sometimes when people go over the tone, that was like forbidden.
Oh yeah.
You know, you had to be done before the tone hit it on the time, you know?
You know, technically, Harry, we're still supposed to do that. Not everybody does. But we're still supposed to hit the news at the tone. That's supposed to be what we're supposed to do. But not everybody does that.
I'm saying, it's old habits. You know, I'm in the car and I'm saying, well, he didn't hit the tone.
All right, Harry. Thanks, buddy.
Listen, a pleasure. Take care of me.
All right, you too. Take care. That was great. That was great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would be really bad if you didn't hit the tone. Really? Yeah, we're about 6 minutes late to the news. Oh! That's right, I forgot the news. And by the way, I'm 2 minutes late getting to the traffic and the weather. But there's no tone here, so it's not that big a deal.
Is that better?
It's better. Something's in the air this morning. It's the second song about booze that we've had. It's the Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. 773 area code UB40 Red Red Wine. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. After the 4:30 news, we will have another edition of the pop-up video. Skip Skipley on the way. Esmeralda's voice all rested. That's what she drank a bunch of Jameson while she was in Ireland, and it's good for the throat, right, Esmeralda?
Sure.
Okay. We were talking about cigarettes earlier, Esmeralda, you know, the Camel days. Trucker Rich said, a few decades back when Winston sponsored the NASCAR races, I'd go and walk out with 10 full cartons after every race. You'd spend most of the day there and just wait for a shift change in their booth. A new person came in, you'd just go get another carton. Good God. They gave away cartons of cigarettes? That's NASCAR, man. Let's go to NASCAR, get us some cigarettes. 251 area code says, my worst was picking up dog poop. That's a job? That's like an actual, I scoop up dog poop?
I knew someone who had like a business, and they would just go to people's houses and do that.
And clean up dog poop.
Yeah. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Especially if you need to cut the grass.
Yeah.
And then you realize, I got to find it all because if it goes through the...
Yeah. Listen, yeah. Esmeralda, I grew up in the 70s. There was dog crap everywhere.
So you should have started that business. You would have made a killing.
I was just used to it because it was like, you know... I mean, seriously, it was like an obstacle course walking down the street. There was dog crap everywhere in the 70s. Nobody cleaned up after their dogs in the 70s. It's ridiculous. I'm not exaggerating. You know, like the joke of like, oh no, I stepped in dog crap and you have to scrape it off. Nobody does that joke anymore. They did it in the 70s because it happened every day. You'd step in dog crap at least once a day in the 70s. After you smash your friend's head in with a bicycle and get Mercurochrome thrown on your arm because you scraped half your skin off. Then you go back outside and step in more dog crap. That's what you did in the 70s. You go outside to play, you'd risk your life, you'd split your head open, and you'd step in dog crap. That's what you did in the 70s. My second worst was when I was a bike messenger in the winter. Oh, man. What was the name of that movie with what the hell's his name?
Premium Rush.
Thank you. Wow. How did you get that?
There's not a lot of bike messenger movies out there.
It's either that or Quicksilver. Those are the remember Quicksilver with man. Kevin. You don't remember Quicksilver?
I don't remember Quicksilver.
Look up Quicksilver, man. It's Kevin Bacon's bicycle messenger movie. Lawrence Fishburne when he was known as Larry Fishburne. Quicksilver, yeah. Yeah, Premium Rush. What? Why am I blanking on the little bastard's name from Third Rock? Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Right. You ever seen Premium Rush, Esmeralda?
No.
That movie rules. I'm not kidding. You know who's awesome in it? Michael Shannon.
Oh God, I have seen Quicksilver.
Did I just bring back a bad memory?
I'm just wow. That was yeah.
Were you watching bike messenger movies? Is that just a marathon?
No, this was just one of those like. 2 o'clock in the afternoon HBO movie.
Yeah, dude, that was on cable in the late 80s and early 90s. It was on cable all the time.
Jack Casey used to be a hot shot stock market whiz kid. After a disastrous personal decision, his life in the fast lane was over. He loses the nerves and joins a speed delivery service, which relies on bicycles to avoid traffic jams of San Francisco.
Besides Larry Fishburne, Lawrence Fishburne, Kevin Bacon, who's the female lead in it?
Terry Gertz. Or Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz. Oh, that's right. Jamie Gertz. Yeah. Yeah, Quicksilver. I think there's only two bike messenger movies out there. But Premium Rush rules. That is a great movie. And Michael Shannon rules in it. We're going to hit the news here in a second. Let's get Bob in. Fly Jam Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, I had a local paper route where the paper was free, but they told us to go around and try to collect subscriptions for them. So people would say, oh, I don't want that paper anyway, you know, but then some people would pay and then they'd give us calendars to try to raise some tips in December. But my worst job was between high school and college, and thank God I had it because it sure made me want to go to college. This place still exists. It's an aerosol can factory in Broadview. And they manufacture, I don't know if you've ever seen that snow that you spray on trees.
Oh, sure.
Yes, they still make it. That's their number one product. And they hired me first for the assembly line. And what we had to do, they would have pallets full of cans within layers like 6 feet high. And you'd have to wrap your arms around the cans and then put them on the assembly line. And, of course, the assembly line moved fast like the one on Lucy,
right.
You know, with the chocolate.
Right.
So you had to keep getting those empty cans on so that they could get filled. But then they took me off the assembly line. This was the worst part. They took me off the assembly line, and they put me outside in a steel vat. It was probably about 400 gallons and about 6 feet tall. And they put me inside the vat. They use this vat to mix paint. And
good Lord.
What they would do is the next layer, it wasn't quite dry, or the next color wasn't quite dry, and then they'd put the next the batch of paint in, and they gave me an air chisel, you know, a miniature like the chisels that they use
right.
to dig the streets up with. And they put me in there with an air chisel, and what they wanted me to do was to chisel off all the layers of paint. Well, you know, like I say, some of them were still
right.
wet, so I got paint all over my clothes, and I had to chisel this stuff off, and it came off like sheets of linoleum. But the worst part about it was, if you can imagine that air chisel, then you're inside this steel vat, and you've got the chisel just going to town
yeah.
on this steel vat, and the reverb and echoing, and that was the absolute worst job I ever had.
That's the worst. That sounds terrible. Bob, I got to hit the news.
Take care, buddy.
There you go. That sounds terrible. That was terrible. Hey, Harry, I hope you're listening, because I'm not going to make it to the beep. I just want you to know that right now. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 815 area code, the English Beat with Mirror in the Bathroom on Tuesday. It's Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Skip Skipley will be here, and we'll have another fun edition of Pop-Up Video. But now we're talking about weird jobs, bad jobs, worst jobs you've ever had, and we got some texts here. 708 area code says, the knife sharpener guy comes to the farmer's market in Tinley Park. 773 area code says, knife guy was at Park Ridge Farmer's Market this past summer. So there are knife sharpener guys out there. Maybe they just show up at farmer's markets now. So bring your knives to farmer's markets and watch them get sharped. 872 area code says, I remember the fruit salesman in the station wagon with a scale hanging above his open tailgate. He'd yell, peaches, apples, tomatoes. Carrie says in a text, my grandmother always preached not running with scissors, but she would run with three pairs when the knife guy came around to Belmont and Central in the 70s. Running down the street with three pairs of scissors. 219 area code says, do you remember the Kevin Costner movie about bicycle racing? Yes, it's called American Flyers. He had a fantastic mustache in that movie. Directed by John Badham with Ray Don Chong. Why do I know so much about American Flyers? That's not about bike messengers, though. That's about bike racing. So is Breaking Away, one of the greatest movies ever made in the history of movies. That's not, but see, we were specifically talking about bike messenger movies. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Breaking Away?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's just the best. Dan, you've seen Breaking Away, right?
Actually, I have not.
Oh, my God, please. You have to see Breaking Away. Magnificent movie. Joe in Richmond reminds us, don't forget, Louis Anderson was also one of the bike messengers in Quicksilver. I totally forgot about that. 708 area code says, check out the website www.poop911.com. You can start your own franchise picking up dog poop. Yeah, I'll get right on that. Okay. Are you ready for some weird jobs from around the world that actually exist, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
You know, in Amsterdam, people fish for bikes full time. They fish for bikes. The Dutch capital is widely known for its elegant canals and approximately 2 million bicycles pedaled by its residents. Combined, They result in the necessity for a very special kind of job, the bike fisherman. As Public Radio International reported, the workers use hydraulic claws to pull out about 15,000 bikes out of the water per year. They've been doing it since the 60s. There's no threat that they'll run out of this job anytime soon. But why do Dutch people toss their bikes into canals en masse? There are various explanations, but moreover, bikes are seen as cheap tools of transportation by most people in the Dutch capital rather than as expensive investments. None of the bikes that end up at the bottom of Amsterdam's canals are likely to be the newest model. And also, everybody's high in Amsterdam. So that you know, you're falling into the canals because you're high, and you just leave your bike there. I think that's a more accurate reason why they have bikes in the bottom of the canals in Amsterdam, because everybody's high on hash. Hey Dan, was there a bike fisherman in Quicksilver? Did they have to get Kevin Bacon's bike out of the water at any time?
I mean, there were some pretty intense scenes in there. Who knows if one went overboard?
In Germany, there are garbage detectives. Garbage detectives, Esmeralda. There's something we should be.
I'm good.
Sure? You threw batteries or other items into the trash, which you're not supposed to do? Well, beware. Germany's garbage police are here. Their job is to search other people's trash to find items that have been disposed of differently. Germany has one of the world's toughest laws in that regard. According to German TV channel, the detectives take their job quite seriously. They will ask your neighbors, examine your shopping bills, and observe your garbage cans to prove your wrongdoing. That's just creepy. Ask your neighbors. Excuse me, I'm a garbage policeman. I'd like to know if you've seen any your neighbor throw out any D batteries in the garbage. If so, tell us. In Britain, you can get paid for lying in other people's hotel beds. In 2010, a hotel chain launched a unique experiment by offering human bed warming services, according to Reuters. The news agency reported that willing staffers dress in an all-in-one fleece sleeper suit before entering a guest's room to warm his or her bed before the guest's arrival. Speaking to Reuters, a spokeswoman for the company was quoted as saying that the service was a bit like having a giant hot water bottle in your bed. So why would the hotel chain not simply offer hot water bottles? A hotel spokeswoman was unable to answer that question. I don't want somebody laying in my bed.
Don't they do that already?
What do you mean?
You know, how many people have slept in the bed you're about to sleep in a hotel?
But immediately before you get into it.
It's warm. They should put cats in there. That's what they should do.
I would rather have cats than a human sleeping in the bed.
You put a cat down on a bed for 5 minutes, the thing's nuclear under them.
My problem is I don't like warm beds. I like my bed to be nice and cool and my feet to hang out from the blankets and have a fan on me. That's pretty much how I enjoy my sleep. I don't want a warm bed. If I do have a warm bed and I'm in a hotel, it's because I've got the air conditioning on 40 below. Which is what I do every time I check into a hotel. It's the first thing I do. I check into the hotel and I turn the thermostat down to 50. I was at the Flashback convention, this past August, and I ordered room service a couple of times. You know, the guy brings in the room service. He's like, "Geez," he's like, "Because it was like 15 below in the room." Like, hey, I'm not paying for the air conditioning. It's going to be 50, but then I get under the blankets. That's the only time I like it. If I get under the blankets, if the room is like a meat locker. I don't want a hot bed. The hell. But that's not a bad job, though, just laying around in a hotel room. That's not a bad job, right? What do you do? I'm going to lay in a bed. That's like the ultimate job, you know?
I'm curious how sweaty they get in their fleece.
Yeah, they
got to
wear a big fleece outfit. Yeah. All right. All right, we got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic, and then we'll wrap up the weird job stories. And then Skip Skipley, I believe, is on his way. I believe the jet is taxiing as we speak. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. After 4:30, Skip Skipley will be here, and we'll have another battle in the world of pop-up video between Esmeralda and myself. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. 815 area code request the English beat. That's I Confess. And we are talking about weird, ridiculous jobs that maybe you didn't know existed. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning, Nick. How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Welcome back, Esmeralda.
Oh, thank you so much.
Welcome. I was a bike messenger for some years around the city.
Right.
And the worst thing about it, not so much doing it in the winter, was the fact that people constantly came up to you going, oh, God, I don't envy you. They pretending they feel sorry for you because you're out there freezing your tuchus out and, you know, and riding
right.
around. But
right.
You know what? It was a cool job for what it was. I did it for about 4 years when I got out of the service. And, you know, it was cool. I did smoke a lot of weed when I did that job. Very high. A lot of weed. Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you seen Quicksilver?
Did not see Quicksilver, but I own Premium Rush.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
I used to watch, what was the show? The guy, he was on Murphy Brown. And then he had a show where there were five messengers.
Oh.
It lasted about a half a season.
Oh.
Yeah, it was on Channel 2. I forgot the
guy. So it was a CBS show. He was on Murphy Brown, and it was about bike messengers.
Right. He was on Murphy Brown, and then he got this show. He was the owner of a bike messenger company. Yeah. And it lasted about, maybe a half a season.
Wow.
Yeah. It was in the 90s, probably about 94, 95.
Okay.
So, one of our clients, I used to deliver to Playboy a lot, and I would get free magazines. And the lady I would deal with always talked to me about the show.
Always talked to you about the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I can't remember the name of it.
Okay. But, hey, Patrick, you're breaking up pretty bad, Patrick. We're losing Patrick. It was like it sounded like Morse code there at the end. Thanks for the call, buddy. I always appreciate it. Let's see. Double Rush was the name of the show. Do you have to have the name Rush in anything about bike messenger? It's got to be Rush or Quick. Anything that's about bike messengers has to have one of those two words in it. Who was in Double Rush? And is this something we need to talk to Feinberg about?
Stars were Robert Pastorelli, David Arquette.
Oh, come on,
Adam,
man.
Goldberg, D.L. Hughley. My God.
Oh my God, Adam Goldberg too.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
And Corrine Boher, how do you pronounce her name? Boher, B-O-H-R-E-R.
I don't know.
She's one of those character actresses. She was the girlfriend and vice versa. She was in Police Academy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Double Rush. Well, there you go. All right. Here's a few more ridiculous jobs. Have you ever thought about becoming an ant vendor, Esmeralda?
Never crossed my mind.
You'll be paid to sell ants. There are about 12,000 different species of ants in the world, so selling ants might be a more complicated job than you think. How about this? In Indonesia, there are passengers for hire. When the streets of Indonesia's capital, Jakarta, kept getting more crowded in the 90s, the municipal administration enforced a consequential rule. During rush hour, there should be at least 3 people in a car. To allow drivers to cheat that rule, passengers for hire emerged. They wait along crowded streets to be picked up by drivers in order to fulfill the minimum occupancy. So basically, it's like using the what's the name of the lane where you have to have people in the car? Why am I blanking on the name?
Carpool?
Carpool. No, the carpool lane, yeah. Remember that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where he hires a prostitute?
Yeah.
Just to be in the carpool, unless we can use the carpool lane. Finally, you could work as an airport scarecrow, Esmeralda.
Oh, boy.
Officially, you'd be called a, quote, specialist for biological aviation safety. That sounds cool. But in practice, you're a human scarecrow. Your daily routine, you receive a call that dozens of birds are waiting on a runway where a plane is about to land. So you rush to your car, fire several warning horns to disperse the bird crowd. Most of the time, however, you will try to prevent the birds from entering the vast properties of the airport. That's pretty cool.
See, I'm imagining someone just driving their car into the big old pile of birds.
Yeah, just going 80. How about a flatulence smell reduction underwear maker? You create underwear that protect against bad human gas for people who suffer from those problems. The underwear is made with various materials and filters to help remedy the hydrogen sulfide gases, the main offender of foul smells.
I mean, that's not normal per se, but I mean, it's just someone who's making clothes.
Yeah. And then finally, Oshia, people onto train pushers. You thought your morning commute was crowded. Be glad you don't live in Japan, where professional pushers are hired during rush hour to literally shove as many people onto the trains as possible.
See, I want that job. Just get out so much aggression.
Get out so much aggression. All right. Well, there you go. There are some jobs that we're grateful we don't have. And I'm going to ask Feinberg that I want all the DVDs of Double Rush. So we'll break here. The news is up next.